Hi, it's Dave. Welcome to episode 294. Today, I'm joined by Sawyer Merritt. He's been a prolific in the Tesla community on Twitter, breaking news and really just engaging with people. And so I'm honored to have Sawyer on the show. Welcome, Sawyer.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here. I mean, to have you as such an incredible person in our community. And yeah, it's just incredible to be on your channel. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, man. I've linked to Sawyer's Twitter account in the video description and your YouTube channel as well. So you're starting to do live streams. I really love the way you just like want to hang out, you know, answer questions, chill with the community. It's definitely
like to
inspiring.
Keep it casual for sure.
Yeah, awesome, man. So first question is, for those who don't know, Sawyer is like really on Twitter. You know, and you're also, you know, you have tentacles trying to break news on Twitter for Tesla. Like, how often are you on Twitter? Are you just like glued to Twitter like all day or what's going on?
Well, between my, you know, startup that I'm starting, my sustainable clothing company, Twin Birch, between that and Twitter, it's all day. I mean, essentially from the minute I wake up, I check any Tesla news that might be tweetable, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then it's just essentially checking constantly throughout the day and while focusing on Twin Birch, just sort of back and forth. Because, you know, I didn't strive to be a minute to minute type news coverage guy for Tesla news type stuff on Twitter. It kind of just happened. And I sort of fell in love with it starting last year. So that's what people kind of know me for. And I know I get a lot of criticism for tweeting too much, but you know, I'm sort of at the whim of the Tesla news cycle. If there's Tesla news, you know, I'm going to tweet it. And as you know, Tesla gets covered a lot. So
yeah. I noticed a lot of your tweets, you preface it with all caps breaking or news or something. I started to catch on. What has been the most popular kind of breaking news or tweet that you've, you know, done over the past, let's say 6 or 12 months?
The most popular tweet I've ever had was back in January. I think it was mid to late January. It was about, and I didn't think people would care that much, but it was about Nancy Pelosi or her husband buying Tesla Leaps. Mm-hmm. And it just blew up. It got, I think, 5.5 million impressions, you know, over 7,000 likes. And I was just over, I had to mute eventually because they're, you know, it's political stuff. You just kind of got to, it gets a little out of control, but that was my biggest tweet. And I was shocked by that.
Awesome. So I wanted to cover a bunch of different topics with you. Q1 deliveries, Cybertruck, Tesla Semi, 4680, just all about Tesla in 2021 and beyond. And then we wanted to open it up for questions, engage with folks here on YouTube and the live stream. So first off, Q1 deliveries, 185,000. Were you like, what's going on? Were you surprised, shocked?
I was blown away. I mean, we had a clubhouse the night before with a lot of Tesla people, and there's about 25 of us, I think, on the stage, and we ran through everybody and all their guesses. And most people were in the 160s and 170s. And then a few people, you know, I think said 180 something. We were all like, you know, just jokingly making fun of them for that number. Mm-hmm. And I guessed 169,000, and I thought that might even be a little high. And then, you know, come Friday morning, they report this 184,800 number. I'm just like, whoa, like that came out of nowhere. And especially with no it's only 2,000 S and X deliveries and no refreshed ones. I mean, the potential that they could have had if they were able to deliver as many S and X's as they were hoping to originally, you know, maybe we'd be pushing, you know, 200,000. So it was mind blowing to me to see that number. And it's going to be interesting to see on Monday how the stock reacts to it.
Yeah. I was thinking if there wasn't a holiday on Friday, the stock would have, you know, gapped up or, you know, but then people like get the weekend to digest it. The emotional type of exuberance might be tapered. And then who knows about the long-term interest rates. Supposedly the employment numbers were very high on Friday. Yep. So, I was shocked myself. Cause everything about it, leading up to the quarter was you had this parts shortage, you had a couple days shutdown, you know, Q1 is seasonally weak, no Model S and X refresh being delivered. And I was expecting, you know, probably on the low end, but I remember the day or two before I was chatting with Emmett on the side and I was like, you know, I think there could be like a 30% chance, maybe, like, or something, that Tesla does 180 or higher, because it's just one of those things where you never know, you know, like something could happen, you know, like China, you know, does ramps faster than we think or something. But yeah, I mean,
well, two things I point out about that is, one thing I found interesting as we sort of headed to the end of the quarter was, typically we see, you know, an Elon rally the troops type email. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see that this quarter. And I thought that was interesting. I know that about a week and a half ago, Elon held a 2020 review call with sort of the whole global employee base of Tesla. And I thought, well, okay, well, maybe that's sort of his rally the troops type, you know, email call. But the fact that we didn't see one, you know, it kind of makes sense now, because it was already in the bag, you know, the results. Yeah. The employees didn't need that extra push. And from what I was hearing, Tesla was hitting their numbers well. So it was a great result.
Yeah, it's crazy, because, like, as far as I can remember, almost every quarter there's been, like, you know, a push and trying to maximize and everything. And this quarter, this was like all quiet. That call you mentioned about a week and a half ago or so, initially I was kind of like discounting the million number, because I'm like, stretch goal, Elon, you know, trying to
naturally.
Like, it's not going to happen. But after this Q1 delivery number without the refresh Model S and X, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, I'm not expecting a million. I'm expecting maybe 900, 950 now. Before I was like expecting maybe 850, but what are your thoughts? Do you think Tesla can hit a million vehicles in 2021?
So last fall I had predicted, and I felt truly, that Tesla could deliver 1 million vehicles in 2021. And then I heard from a source that about maybe a month ago, I want to say, that Tesla was aiming internally for 1 million deliveries. But of course, you always want to take that with a grain of salt. And then a week and a half ago, like I said, the Elon call, he had said himself on the call that Tesla could produce and deliver 1 million vehicles this year. So you keep hearing this 1 million number, and then they come out and report a blowout quarter, blowing away expectations. And in my mind, I'm just like, I think this is doable. Like, I really do. And I think, and I'd still believe it. I think Tesla will deliver 1 million vehicles this year.
Wow, that's insane. I mean, they delivered slightly under 500,000. So if they delivered 1 million, that would be like a doubling, you know,
yes,
of deliveries.
Incredible growth.
Yeah, incredible. I think if the Biden infrastructure plan with the EV tax credit passes, and it's really favorable to Tesla, whether it's like uncapped, actually it doesn't even have to be uncapped. I mean, that's more long-term, but like, you'd imagine if something passes mid-year or something, and then Tesla can take advantage of it third quarter and fourth quarter, just deliver as many as they want, right? Then yeah, I mean, 1 million, you know, definitely could be in the books, or yeah.
Well, I know my mom personally, she's in the market for a Model Y, and mm-hmm. you know, ever since the Made in China Model Y had got, you know, the updated interior and the, you know, the trim and the HEPA filter, she's been waiting. But then we heard, you know, then Biden won, and then we heard the EV tax credits might be coming. So she's sort of waiting and holding off. So I'm wondering how many people are similar to my mom, where they're sort of seeing how the EV tax credit might play out, and if they're sort of holding off on getting their own Tesla.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Have you heard anything about the Made in China Model Y production? I mean, I think there's been, you know, rumors that they hired, 3,000 people last quarter. They added another line. Do you know any other kind of details or, you know, things on that?
Yeah, so a couple weeks I had spoke to some of my sources, and I was told that a second Model Y shift was added in Giga Shanghai. And this was probably like midway through the quarter. And I was told that, and I know Troy Teslik had touched on this as well, that there were about 3,000 new hires at Giga Shanghai just for Q1. Mm-hmm. So, and I think a lot of people discounted the Model Y in China and the sort of production capabilities that Tesla had. So I think that's maybe where a lot of people were sort of missing their, you know, I know Gary Black and Troy Teslik and all of us, I think we were sort of discounting how many Model Ys they could pump out of there. So that's likely where the extra numbers came from. I could be wrong, but that's my, you know,
yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, something happened probably in Shanghai. I mean, sure, yeah. There's probably other areas, but yeah, I was talking with Troy Teslik, like, just DMing before the delivery numbers, and I mean, the guy is like, he's really on top of things, but he was saying how South Korea has got this incentive where the Model Y actually applies for that, or, you know, is eligible for this. It's a pretty aggressive incentive by the government. And so he was speculating, and this was actually before even the estimates came out, that whatever, you know, Model Ys they make in China, they could ship to South Korea and get really good margins, because it's just like, you know, you could ship high kind of optioned cars out there for decent prices. But yeah, there must have been something, I think, you know, where Tesla saw demand and, or, you know, they, it was both. They were able to boost up production and, you know, get the cars out quickly. What do you think about Q2? We got the refreshed Model S and X. Do you think they're going to start production like anytime, like soon, like this week or next week? Or is it going to be something where it's going to be more gradual? Because it's already been like 3 months. I'm kind of surprised they haven't delivered any yet.
I know. And it's unfortunate for the people who, you know, reserve them. I do think Tesla has mostly sorted out the issues. I did hear some of the issues that were going on a couple of weeks ago. I unfortunately can't go into, you know, deep depth on that. But as far as I know, they should be worked out pretty soon, and they should, you know, start pumping these things out. Obviously, the Model S, I think, will spool up faster than the Model X will. But it'll be interesting to see how many they deliver in Q2. Obviously, Elon had mentioned back in an email late February that they need a second shift for the Model S and X lines. So clearly, demand is high, and I'm hoping they can spool up pretty quick here, because I know they can. I mean, demand is high, as Elon said. So,
I mean, can you give any hints to what the issues might have been? Has it been, was it trim? Was it more powertrain stuff? Was it more production equipment stuff?
Yeah, as far as I know, the body line was fine, but I think some issues might have been further down the line. So yeah, maybe potential part shortages. But that's about as far as I can go into it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely interesting. Tesla Semi, what have you heard? Is Tesla using 4680 cells from their pilot line to, you know, make some early Tesla Semi vehicles? And what's going on?
So I haven't been able to figure out which batteries they're using in the Semi prototypes and what they've done up into this point. I know they had built some prototypes last year. And obviously we've seen the new prototypes in recent months, sort of out and about on the trailers. We haven't seen them driving too much, but we did see Tesla post a video of the new prototype on their own test track. But as far as I know, you know, development is going well. And I had heard that, at least from a Tesla Semi supplier, that the supplier was hoping to get, you know, make 100 parts per week of their parts for this Tesla Semi, and start production this August, so in Q3. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see if that's, you know, obviously timelines can change. It's the Semi, you know, we don't know what the battery production will be or battery availability. But of course, we saw from Electric, they reported that Tesla is going to start Tesla Semi production in Nevada and then eventually move it to Giga Texas, which is what I heard about a month and a half, 2 months ago as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the Semi, with, you know, 4680 cells, it seems like that's kind of the limiting factor. Like, they have to wait till, you know, they can ramp this stuff up. But I haven't heard too much about the 4680 cells, like how it's going, how production is going. Have you heard anything kind of at all on that front?
You know, there are certain parts of Tesla that are sort of Fort Knox like. It's sort of the Cato Road, which has the, you know, the 4680 pilot production plant, you know, the Roadster, and then the Cybertruck. Those are three areas I just haven't heard a peep about. I know Warren Redlick had spoken to some sources of his own, and he had said at least a Giga Texas, Tesla was potentially 30% ahead of schedule for the 4680 production. But we'll have to see how it goes the rest of the year. I'm really hoping that, you know, I know a lot of people are expecting they are having issues, but I'm hoping that's not the case and Tesla's just sort of sandbagging. That's what I'm hoping.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, it's kind of related to this Q1 a bit, you know? It's like, you don't hear the news, you expect there to be some issues and problems, and everyone just, like, thinks, okay, you know, no news means it's just slow, but then maybe out of the blue, you know, like they're actually making better progress than people think. And it could apply to the 4680 cells, who knows, it could apply to Austin or Berlin as well. What are your expectations out of Berlin, Austin? Do you think they'll be making, you know, a decent amount of cars this year? If so, you know, how much?
Yeah, I think the Model Y will start being pumped out of Giga Berlin around July, I want to say. And then I think about two months later, Giga Texas will start pumping out the Model Y. Based on the ramp that we've seen, at least from Giga Shanghai, I'm really optimistic with the ramps we're going to see with the Model Y, both from Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. So while I don't expect a lot of Cybertruck numbers this year, I do expect, you know, a meaningful amount of Model Y deliveries to come out from Giga Texas and Giga Berlin. And I'm also really curious to see the difference between a current Model Y and a Giga Texas / Giga Berlin Model Y, because I do think there will be some significant changes.
Mm-hmm. Like what kind of changes do you anticipate?
Well, of course, the 4680s, I know we have the new castings as well. I'm curious to see if they're going to do the front casting. And then, of course, hopefully they'll update the interior as well a little bit. And of course, Elon's been talking about this next generation best paint shop in the world. So I'm really curious to see what that's all about. And it looked like on Battery Day back last fall, the Roadster had some sort of new paint where there was just this gorgeous depth to it. So I'm curious if that used the new paint shop technology. And I'm really curious to see what the Teslas look like coming out of Giga Texas and Berlin.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think one of the things that I'm kind of most excited about Berlin and Austin is Berlin and Austin, they're just made more efficient, the factories. And they're going to have all of the lessons learned from Shanghai and Fremont and the next level, so the next generation. And then, so that will bring down costs of how to build the vehicles. And then you've got the 4680s, battery cells, which should also reduce the costs or bring up, you know, range efficiency, et cetera. So you've got two things going on. And so if Tesla can, you know, deliver a standard base range Model 3 for like 37, 38 now, and if they really wanted to, they could probably, you know, bring it, you know, sell a Model Y for 40 base if they wanted to. I think with the two new factories and 4680, like it seems like Tesla can significantly reduce those prices, you know, while keeping the range pretty high. And then you've got this whole other idea of, let's say Tesla uses lithium iron phosphate cells, you know, cheaper. So, you know, hypothetically, you could probably get the Model Y in Berlin, possibly Austin too, down to, let's say, $35,000 with lithium iron phosphate cells, and maybe like a 280 mile range. And that would be crazy, you know? And then can you imagine?
That would be incredible.
And then on top of that, can you imagine a Biden EV tax credit on top of that?
A Model Y for like $25,000, that'd be incredible.
Yeah. Would you want a Camry or a Model Y, you know?
Yeah. There would be competition. There would be no such thing. It would just be the Model Y and that's it.
Yeah. It's insane. So you haven't heard much about Cybertruck, I'm guessing, right? I mean, we've all heard rumors of, you know, that they might be having a pilot line in Fremont, or just trying to, you know, test out Cybertruck, you know, production. I think that's bullish news, just, you know, if that's true. I don't know. What are your thoughts, random thoughts on, do you think they can actually, you know, push out some Cybertrucks by the end of the year in Austin?
So, I absolutely do. I think they'll push out, you know, a decent amount of Cybertrucks. How much? It's hard to say right now. But if you look at what Tesla's doing with the Semi and starting sort of a pilot line at Giga Nevada, and then going to take it to Giga Texas when they really know what they're doing, maybe work out the kinks in Nevada, they could be doing something similar at Fremont. They could be setting up sort of a small line at Fremont for the Cybertruck and then sort of hit the ground running, you know, in Giga Texas. I reached out to my source and they were sort of skeptical that Tesla would even do such a thing, especially because of the space limitations that, you know, they have right now at Fremont. It's just sort of so jam-packed in there. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'd pop up a tent or something. I don't know. But it makes sense to me, you know, if they sort of make a small line, work out the kinks, and then hit the ground running in 2022.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, you know, hash out the problems with the machines, you know, and the whole assembly line and the products, you know, get good few hundred out, you know, iterate on it before you start, you know, doing some mass production stuff. Yeah, exciting stuff, man. I mean, if Tesla can, you know, approach 1 million vehicles this year, who knows, plus, or, you know, maybe 900, maybe 1 million, who knows. What are you thinking? What are your expectations for next year? Yeah. Any thoughts?
I want to say low 2 millions, like 2.1, 2.2. I don't think is out of the question. Wow. I'm more optimistic on the ramp than I think some people are.
Yeah.
And I really do think Tesla has learned so much from Giga Shanghai that Giga Berlin and Giga Texas are just going to be the state of the art. You know, like Elon said, you know, the real product are these gigafactories. And that's where so much innovation is happening, you know, with these giga presses and the paint shop factory and just the whole layout of the factory. It's just going to be super fascinating. And I think they could do low 2 millions next year for wow. sure.
Yeah, that's insane, man. Wait, so, okay, so I need to poke or press a bit more in this. So low 2 millions, like, how does that happen? I guess it's Austin and Berlin, I guess, get up to, you know, I guess, I don't know what full production is, or at least, you know, with Model Y, Cybertruck, right? Is that the extra million or so that you're thinking about?
Yeah, mainly. And if we look back at the investor slide deck from the Q4 earnings, you know, Tesla already has an installed capacity of 1,050,000. So what it'll be this year, I'm not quite sure, but we can sort of speculate. And then what it'll be, you know, as Tesla continues to ramp up and get better through 2022. I mean, to me, it's not out of the question as Giga Berlin, you know, of course, all of this sort of revolves around enough batteries and a sufficient supply of those. And if that doesn't happen, you know, it's sort of out of the question, the 2 million or so. But I think, yeah, most of it will be the Model Y from the Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. And the Cybertruck, I think, will spool up quicker than most think, but it wouldn't be that surprising either if they had some sort of hiccup, because it is just sort of an out-of-this-world next-generation machine. So
Yeah. Anytime they try, like, a bunch of new technologies, you got to have some room for, you know, a buffer for time.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's after Berlin and Austin? Do you think... where else do they need factories? Do you think anything will be announced anytime soon?
I think I know they're sort of scouting right now for potential locations, but you know, they kind of always are. I know a lot of people say India and Australia. Those locations don't make sense to me. The average new car sold in India is $10,000. And Tesla is nowhere near that, even with the $25,000 model, you know, that they're going to come out with. It's just too much. So that doesn't make sense to me right now. And Australia, the population is just too low. Things are too spread out or dispersed. So I'm eyeing, I think, the UK, even though labor might be a little high, or just another China factory, even though Giga Shanghai is continuing to expand. Mm-hmm. And we heard about, you know, them buying that parcel of land next to phase two. But I think, yeah, China or the UK are sort of my two spots that I would sort of guess Tesla would put their next gigafactory.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the next big jump would be kind of this $25,000 car, you know, maybe a China version with Asia Pacific. You have a Europe version. I would imagine there'd be a big market in the US too. I mean, I would imagine you probably need at least three factories for this $25,000 car. Maybe there are different variations too, you know, for each region of the world.
I think there will be. I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, what's crazy is the more innovation, the more Tesla can drive down costs with batteries, with factory, you know, design improvements, et cetera, the bigger demand is for these cars, you know? Because like, if you have a $25,000 car, the demand is just off the charts. But if you bring that down that price to $22,000, then you just increase it more in $20,000. And so it's just, I mean, what do you think about the competition, you know? Because Tesla, they're just in this group where they're just ruthlessly tackling inefficiencies, you know, by innovating, you know, batteries, factories, anything. But the competition, you know, I don't know how they stand a chance. What's their strategy, and how do you feel about it? Do you feel like any of the competitors have a chance or are doing some right moves?
I do want to say I'm a supporter of competition and more EV players just coming in the space in general. I don't want just one company dominating the space, but in terms of, you know, competition competing, I think it's important. You know, a good thing to go back to is sort of the iPhone. Right when around the iPhone launched, you had all these articles about sort of iPhone killers coming, you know, coming down the line, but they never came. And I think it's the same thing with Tesla. You see all these articles, you know, the past few years, many years, about this Tesla killer coming from Audi, Porsche, you know, BMW, whatever, Mercedes, and they just don't come. And Tesla's pace of innovation is just too quick for them to, you know, for these competitors to catch up. And Tesla's efficiency is just through the roof. And I don't see their pace of innovation slowing down anytime soon. And vertical integration plays a huge part in that. And that's something that legacy auto manufacturers and or even some other EV startups don't have. So I think Tesla has a huge leg up on the competition. And I don't see any of the competition catching up for years and years.
Mm-hmm. With full self-driving, like robotaxis, autonomous driving, how do you see all this playing out? Do you see, you know, Tesla just dominating this area, or do you see, you know, competition at all from Mobileye or Waymo or Cruise or other players, or, you know, how does it shape out?
It's tough to say. There are certainly more educated people on the FSD space than I am. So they could speak better to it than I could, but I do expect Tesla to be the leader in the space. And I know ARK Invest certainly agrees with that. But Mobileye is certainly interesting, but they don't get nearly as much, you know, data. Data is king, right? And Tesla gets over 40 million miles of data, real world mile data per day. And that's super important. That's something that, like, you know, competitors just can't replicate. I mean, Waymo, the CEO, just stepped down. I think he announced it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that's discouraging. And then we'll have to see what happens with Mobileye. But in terms of Tesla and FSD, with what's happening with the FSD beta, I mean, it's just super incredible the progress they've been making. And I love seeing the videos that people post, and I can't wait until the next version comes out and whatever the button will be in the vehicles. I know people will be going crazy for that. But it'll be interesting to see how the FSD beta expands, and hopefully the subscription comes on time, you know, around 5 weeks from now, and it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Monday stock price, what's your prediction or expectations?
So I saw Gary Black sort of, you know, predicting maybe a 10% pop. I don't know if he said for the week or for Monday, but I think a 10% pop is not unreasonable. I don't normally like to talk about short-term stock price, even though I'm a minute-to-minute news type guy. I'm a long-term investor. But I would say because, you know, in past quarters, we've seen expectations heading into a delivery, Tesla's delivery reports, they've been, like, really high. But this was the first quarter in a while where I've really felt like expectations were low. And Tesla just absolutely knocked it out of the park. So I think we'll see at least, you know, some positive move on Monday. We'll have to see, like you said, where the 10-year is and how the rest of the market is doing. But at least the jobs report was good, and we'll have to see how they react. But I think it'll be in the green. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would. It's always hard to tell because there's so many factors with the stock price. You know, it's not just Tesla. There's a market. There's buyers and sellers. Right. There's, you know, so many things that can happen even Monday morning, you know, in the few minutes right before opening or something. So who knows? But yeah, I would lean on kind of being a little bit muted. Like, I don't know. I think the report, the deliveries is more significant than people realize. And I think we're going to see this with Q1 earnings. I think we're going to see amazing Q1 earnings. It's going to blow people away. So the good news of deliveries is going to continue on. And I think Q2 is just going to be better, et cetera. But I think, yeah, this jobs report, I mean, people are so scared of inflation right now and the Fed raising rates and stuff. And I think there's might be some muted. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if maybe like a 40 to 50 point, you know, jump on Monday.
That's fair.
Yeah. But we'll see. I want to go ahead and open it up for just questions and, you know, comments from folks in the live stream. So what we'll do is, if you want to chime in, go ahead and do all caps question colon. So all caps question colon. And then that just helps me to be able to spot out the questions more easily. And then what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and drag some comments over and then give a chance for Sawyer and I to go ahead and make some comments. All right, so K10, Tesla videos. I hope this is K10. there's so many, like, you know.
I think it is.
Yeah, hopefully. Kristen, hope you're doing well. Love your tweets and everything you do. She says, my take is there will be a compact and subcompact factories just for those two, possibly in places like Brazil and such.
Interesting. Brazil. Yeah. I hadn't thought about Brazil. I'm not sure. Brazil would be tough to start, I think, just because, but, you know, I don't know what the price would be if it would be, $25K for the subcompact and the compact. But Brazil would be interesting if they put a factory there. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah. So I think what's cool is it's interesting idea, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kristen, if you want to join our live chat, just hit me up on Skype. <'Cause> people I've done interviews before, you have my Skype, just hit me up, call me, and then I'll get you in here. But yeah, so actually Kristen says, haha, yes. So it is Kristen from K10. So yeah, I think what she's talking about is two ideas here. She's saying there's going to be a $25,000 compact car. So that could be China, Europe, et cetera. And then she's thinking there's going to be a subcompact, so even smaller, like tiny. And then that car can be maybe done in places like Brazil or India or
who knows. Okay, that would make more sense. You know, maybe something of, like a Honda Fit sort of size, maybe.
Probably even smaller, you know? I would imagine like, I don't know how small, like a Fiat 500 or a smart car. Probably not a smart car, but something, you know, maybe smaller than even a e-Golf or Golf, VW Golf or something. Yeah, we'd love to hear more actually from K10. yeah. All right. Fam Naf says, why wouldn't the Y be a perfect taxi? So the Model Y, like, what is the perfect taxi? I've been thinking about this, like, is it a tiny car? Is it more of a, you know, I don't know, a bigger car? Like, what are your thoughts?
Not having too much experience in taxis, I don't know what the perfect taxi is. That's a good question. I know the New York City had just added, I think, 4 or 5 Model 3s to their taxi fleet, or whatever company did it. The Model Y, to me, would sound like a good taxi car, especially if it's full, you know, completely full self-driving. I'm not sure. Maybe the door handles will probably be hard to figure out for a lot of people, maybe. But I don't see why the Model Y would be a bad taxi car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my take on the ultimate taxi car is pretty much the cheapest car, but also the one that has the most kind of range per kilowatt hour, because ultimately it's going to come down to the cost of per mile. So if you can... You know, and ultimately it's the smaller cars that went out, you know, it's going to be the cars that you have like a 40 or 50 kilowatt hour battery pack that goes 300-400 miles, you know, and then the cost to charge is so cheap, you know, that and the cost of that vehicle is cheap. So then it just makes it, you know, a cheaper and better full self-driving or robotaxi.
A cheaper car than the Model Y would certainly make sense.
Definitely. Yeah. Veronica says, let me get back to that comment here. Paul Costa says, what percent of your portfolio is invested in Tesla stock? It was directed to me, but I'm curious, I want to direct it to you. Like, what percent of your portfolio is invested in Tesla stock?
So 99.5% of my portfolio is in Tesla stock and options.
Mm-hmm. And options, what options do you have?
I have a few leaps dated March 2022. I think I have a 1200 strike and then a 1600 strike.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I've been open with my percent is over 95%. Veronica says, what are you most excited about for this coming year? Full self-driving, Cybertruck, et cetera?
Well, personally, I have 2 Cybertruck reservations. So I would say the Cybertruck. That's just something. It's a spaceship, and I can't wait for that thing to come out. So that's what I'm most looking forward to, I think.
Mm-hmm. Cybertruck. You only have 2. Actually, I had 2. Yeah. I had 2 Cybertrucks.
I have 21.
And after, so I was like thinking, like, should I reserve more? This is before talking with Matt, right? Matt Smith, the Spark Spread. And then after talking with Matt, I'm like, hey, these are $100 non-refundable. So I double checked, you know, the text on the order page, and yeah, it's non-refundable. So I'm like, what the heck? So I ordered like 28 more yesterday or something. So I have 30 Cybertrucks.
It's not a bad idea, to be honest. Things work out, yeah.
Yeah, definitely fun stuff. Gary Menezes says, what about FSD subscriptions this quarter? Q2 would be the take-up beat. Okay, so what would be the take rate? I guess, yeah, do you think they're going to release it subscriptions this quarter, or is it going to be pushed out, do you think, another quarter or so?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's delayed, but I'm still going to guess it's going to be released this quarter. Because the subscription isn't like, you know, the hardware where there's sort of bugs. They can sort of just turn it on when they want. In terms of the take rate, I don't know. It really depends what the price is going to be. If it's 99, I think it'll be quite high. Whereas if it's like over 200, I don't think people are going to want to pay for that. They're going to want to wait for more features to come out. So we'll have to see. I'm really interested to see what the take rate is too, though. But I don't think it'll have a huge material impact on Tesla's earnings for Q2. I could be wrong, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tesla Compact says, what's your expectation of Berlin Model Y range and specs due to the new production techniques?
Range, I would put in the 350 to 350 to 400 range. Mm. I think the 4680 Model Y will be lighter too. A lot of people don't realize, which will help increase the range as well. In terms of like other specs, like 0 to 60, I'm not sure what improvements there will be there, but range would be, I think, 350 to 400.
Mm-hmm. Here is Steven Ozer says, does Tesla have a patent on the alloy used in Giga Casting?
That would make sense to me. I haven't heard if they have a patent, but that's sort of their secret sauce. Anyone can get a Giga Casting, but Tesla's materials science division, you know, killed it and are producing these incredible special alloys that competitors, they can't replicate that. They can buy as many gigapresses as they want, but they can't replicate that special aluminum that Tesla's using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one interesting thing on patents is I don't think Tesla does patents necessarily to, I think it's more of a move where they don't want to get sued by another company who claims this patent later. So Tesla's doing this right, more, you know, in defense, where they're just, you know, they're not trying to hoard their secrets per se. They're just like, you know, there's like other players that could, you know, try to sue them after developing, you know,
right,
something.
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah. Stock MKT News says, what Tesla model do you wish they had?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would love to see a van, a Tesla van. I think that could be huge. I used to know the yearly sales of vans in the US, but they're quite high. And I think that could be, you know, sort of, you know, a multi-purpose vehicle. So a Tesla van, I think, would be interesting. But I know that's on Elon's mind. I think he mentioned it some Joe Rogan podcast or something, but mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't do it right now. They're just too busy with everything else.
Yeah, I think a van would be awesome, a delivery van, like a sprinter van, but then you have all these different versions, right? You can have more of just like, you mod it, you could change it out. I mean, for me, the ultimate, though, has got to be the Tesla RV, just because...
Like, I know you love RVing.
Yeah, RV, man, I'm telling you, it changes the game. It's no longer a car. It's no longer transportation. It's like your life, you know? It's like your house. Mm-hmm. And if Tesla makes a killer RV, I think this changes a lot of things. Like, people will start living in these RVs, you know, Tesla RVs. And so you could actually have, you know, RV parks, just Tesla RV parks, or just... I mean, they're going to be so well made. They're going to last so long too, you know? And so it's going to redefine mobile living. And
if they've had solar panels on the roof, I mean, yeah, parked in an RV park.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think, we'll see. You saw that trailer on the Cybertruck images, right? That they posted. They have a trailer that looks kind of like folded, you know, stainless steel, and along with kind of this camping, or no, actually, it had several pet pictures of a camping, you know, mod setup and some other stuff. But I don't think Tesla produces images that they don't intend to make. You know, they're not like doing that stuff. They only show stuff that they're gonna make. And I think that's gonna come out too. I don't know when, but We'll see.
Yeah, no one's really talked about that trailer. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, I'm no, it's coming to see up. If yeah.
do that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Elon hates the whole pretend, you know, let's make this picture, but don't release it, right? He'll right. only show something that he intends fully to make. But yeah, we shall see.
I want that ATV to come out. That thing looks incredible. That
yeah. electric ATV. Yeah, I saw that in person at the Cybertruck reveal.
Look good?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I talked to the engineer who made it. And I'm so how big was your team that made this thing? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how many people made it? He's like, just me. So it was like, they had one person on the whole thing.
That's hilarious.
And then I asked him like, so dude, are you into like off-roading, like ATV or something? Is that how you got into it? He's like, no. So he doesn't even have experience. Like, you know,
the fact that they can just whip that up real quick is hilarious.
Yeah. It's crazy. Adam Sullivan says, anyone else hoping the stock price stays down so you can buy more shares? Do you ever think that way?
Honestly, the stock price has been down, what, 5-6 weeks at this point? If you haven't been able to accumulate during the dip at this point, I mean, when are you? So I think we've, you know, formed a good base down here, and I think it'll go up. I don't really expect to see that 539 low again. But again, I'll leave the trader type stuff to the traders, but I would say, you know, get in quick if you were planning on buying, but of course not financial advice. It's up to you.
Yeah. Dimitri says, do you expect Tesla to further grow margins to 30% long-term? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, margins will absolutely get better, especially a lot of people don't realize, you know, in Giga Shanghai, they have a lot of localized part production, which really helps bring down the cost and increases margins. And that's something I'm really hoping they'll utilize both the Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. And of course, the 4680s with their 56% savings is just, yeah, I think that's absolutely doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, especially with full self-driving as an option, you know, I mean, thing, as it gets better, it could command higher, you know, prices, and that's all pure profit basically. And so that's all margin. That's margin expansion too, you know, it's crazy. Zuckerman says, any chance the minibus will come before the Model 2 Q? What's a Q? Model 2? I guess the Model 2. Do you think they'll do a minibus before?
I call it the Tesla Q. I don't call it the Model 2. Just to poke at the short sellers.
Yeah, I know ARK in their, one of their, I think their model, I'm not sure if it's there, but they call it the Model A, which I found interesting.
That is interesting.
I've always called it the Gen 4 car because I've been calling that since like 2014 or something, because my hypothesis back then was after Tesla makes the Gen 3, Model 3 car, they're going to be making a Model 4 car, which is going to expand their market like crazy. And so that's the car that, you know, really takes on mass market. But minibus, yeah, I don't know.
I don't expect that to come, before the $25,000 model.
Yeah, interesting. Mike Hunt says, when do you think Tesla will make flying cars?
Flying cars? Well, I don't know if they ever will. To me, there's issues with flying cars. One, you're clogging up the airspace. And let's say one breaks down, you know, in the middle of the air, what are you going to have? This crashing car just coming down on people? I mean, and of course, Elon is working on the Boring Company, which I think is a much better way to deal with the traffic and get it out of, you know, put it underground. That makes sense. You can keep just digging and digging and have different layers. So I think the Boring Company strategy makes more sense than flying cars.
Yeah. Do you think Tesla will do an electric vertical takeoff on any jet in the future?
I think way down the line. I know Elon really wants to do it, but like he said, his mind is just too boggled with everything else right now. So that's not really a priority. But yeah, I think eventually they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tomer Hakahen says, Dave, what's your 2020 delivery numbers? I'm at 1.8 million cars. Yeah, I mean, I kind of think a lot of 2022 depends on this year. So, you know, but I have a loose kind of range of maybe 1.5 to 2 million cars next year. And it all depends on where they end up, you know, at the end of this year, because that has a big impact on next year. Daniel B. Says, this is interesting. Do you think a Tesla van will be a surprise unveiling later this year?
Ooh. I'm expecting that Tesla could unveil the Model Q, the $25,000 model this November, potentially. Uh-huh. I know there had been some rumors in the past about that. Of course, it's just rumors. But I don't know. I feel like they're just so busy with everything else that I don't know if they would do that. It would sort of steal the shine maybe from the Model Q, but it could be a surprise. Yeah, like the Roadster. You never know.
Yeah, I think one of my speculations, I think with Jerome Guillen taking on, you know, Tesla trucks, I think part of that is actually going to be a Sprinter-like delivery van platform mm-hmm. that they're going to release as well. So that's going to be under Jerome's kind of thing, Semi and this new delivery van truck platform. And I think they're dying to get it out because, you know, you got Rivian making, you know, these vans, but it's like, come on, you know, like,
yeah.
Rivian, like, what can Tesla do? You know, like, I'm sure it all pencils out the economics. They probably have some type of basic design. And it seems to me the cells are the killer thing, you know, as long as they have the cells at the right cost. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this year, I'm surprised there hasn't been any kind of inclination or hints of any product revealings, you know? I mean, typically every year we have one or two something, you know? Do you think anything will be revealed at all? I guess they did the Model S and X refresh already without an event, you know? So that was, you know, kind of anticlimactic.
I don't know if they'll do like a formal event for a new vehicle this year. You know, Elon hasn't really spoken about it, so I don't know. But, you know, the Model 2 or Q could be unveiled this year, so you never know.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Jones says, question, when does Tesla valuation overtake Apple valuation this year?
I don't think it'll happen this year, but I think it'll happen in 2022, 2023. My long-term, you know, Tesla price target, like dating out 5-10 years, is, you know, 5 trillion for the market cap is 5 trillion. So that'd be about 5,000 a share. That's honestly pretty conservative, especially if you factor in robotaxis. I think it could be a $10 trillion+ company. Absolutely. But I just try to be a little bit conservative. Some people will say 5 trillion is not conservative, but I think, you know, by 2030, you know, a $2 trillion company or a $5 trillion company could be the sort of now like $1 trillion company. They'll be way more common. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Opsazar says, do you believe the Toyota partnership rumors, and who do you see benefiting the most from it?
I think it's just a rumor for now, and I would say I probably don't believe it. Even though that, you know, the newspaper and the writer is credible, I'm just going to chalk it up to rumors right now. Even though Tesla would, if they just essentially licensed out their software and their technology, I think they'll get great margins. But in terms of the benefit between the two, I think Toyota gets a huge benefit because I think they're one of the biggest lagging OEMs, legacy OEMs out there. And I think they're getting desperate. I think they've been sitting on their hands for years. And they're just now realizing, oh crap, like we're way behind on this EV revolution or transition. So I think it would be smart for them to partner with Tesla. If they don't, we'll see what happens to them.
Yeah, yeah. I already did a video on my views on Toyota partnership. I don't think Tesla has much to gain, but I think they could help them out maybe with licensing full self-driving or even, you know, different, you know, battery, you know, patents or, you know, designs, et cetera. But yeah, it's interesting. Alex says, what do you think the chances are Tesla develops a cryptocurrency and calls it X? Would be used for in-app purchases, full self-driving subscriptions, et cetera, and could be tied to the USD?
I don't really see Tesla developing their own crypto, to be honest. I'd think they'll sort of stick with Bitcoin for right now, maybe accept some others in the future, but I don't think they'll develop their own crypto. I don't see a need for it. I don't think it's a good use of resources potentially. So no.
Got it. I actually think that there's decent possibility that Elon does something with crypto, like starts something eventually. Like he's going down
this path.
I think
it makes more sense for SpaceX. for maybe if they develop perhaps their own, maybe that makes more sense than Tesla. But who knows? Everything, you know, eventually might just be under on one umbrella.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Ops Cesar says, is there a limit to the vertical integration that Tesla can implement? Do you see them making chips, screens, tires, et cetera, to accelerate production in the future?
I'm not sure they'll go full vertical integration. I think it would be smart if they brought chip manufacturing in-house. I know, obviously, the design is in-house, but you know, with the chip shortages going on, you certainly don't want that happening again. Although they've seemed to have fared out pretty well compared to competitors. You know, we've seen reports of, you know, Honda, Ford, GM, all these companies shutting down plants for weeks at a time in Q1 just because they didn't have enough chips. And Tesla didn't seem to get affected by that. I mean, maybe they were for those 2 days that Fremont was shut down. But other than that, Tesla seemed to fare out pretty well. But in terms of overall vertical integration, I would have to study that more. I don't know, you know, what parts make sense to bring in-house and what, you know, if it makes sense to bring everything in-house. I don't know if there's a single company that's like fully vertically integrated. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think, generally speaking, there are certain things like, for example, tires. I mean, there's certain economies of scale that it just doesn't make sense because, yeah, you know, existing tire makers are making so many and it's just the learning curve and the economies of scale aren't in your favor. But then there are certain things that you can do, you know, really efficiently and better. And so in my opinion, actually, it's kind of this thing where as Tesla gains more economies of scale, gets more expertise, they're able to, you know, make certain things at cheaper costs. And they just compare that with what suppliers, the best prices suppliers are giving them. And if they can do it for cheaper and better, then they'll do it. You know, if not, they'll, you know, rely on the suppliers. But that changes every couple of years as, you know, their improvements, you know, and the scale changes. So it's definitely going to be interesting on vertical integration. Mike Hunt says, do you think Tesla will struggle with supply shortages as they exponentially increase production?
No, I think they'll be fine, to be honest. If they were fine in Q1, and Q1 was pretty bad, especially for some auto manufacturers, I think they should be fine heading through the rest of the year. And the first half will be the worst of it in terms of the chip shortage. And as the second half of the year goes on, at least what I'm hearing is that the chip shortages sort of should start to ease up and things will get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole thing of managing a supply chain is, I mean, this is what the legacy OEMs, like, that's their bread and butter. And it's actually quite complex. And it really, like, Jerome Guillen did an amazing job overseeing this. So it's going to be really dependent on who oversees like that whole auto division, you know? But yeah, I'm sure Tesla has a lot of capable people in their company. Yeah. Sean says, what do you think of ARK Invest's $3,000 2025 price target? Is it too low or too high?
So I had predicted beforehand that ARK would do around $2,800 to $3,000 for their base case. And that's exactly what they did. But I got to be honest, the bull case, it was kind of underwhelming. And for them not to include energy this time around was disappointing. Obviously, you know, the day that the report came out or like an hour or two after, we had on Clubhouse, we had, I'm forgetting his name, Brett Winton, Mark's head of research. We had him on in Clubhouse and we got to ask him some questions about, you know, why energy wasn't included. But I think it's just a tough area to forecast for them right now. I think they'll eventually include it, which will lead to a higher price target. But yeah, to me, you know, 3,000, 4,000 by 2025 is absolutely doable.
Here's improving me thinking about moving to SpaceX Village. Keep the noise down if you become my neighbor. what are your thoughts on, I guess, Starbase out in Texas?
Yeah. It's interesting. I know a lot of people reached out to me saying that, you know, they want to head down there and live down there and work down there for SpaceX. Wow. Yeah. Hmm. But we'll have to see. It's incredible the growth that SpaceX is, you know, enjoying. And I speak to a lot of SpaceX employees and they're just incredible, dedicated individuals, and they love what they do. And Starbase will be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you live right now?
I live in New England.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm in Austin, and it seems like Elon is moving all of his companies out here. I mean,
yeah,
recent news is like SpaceX is setting up, you know, facilities here in Austin. Boring Company already has their headquarters out here in right next to Austin.
So do you think the headquarters of Tesla will move to Austin eventually?
Yeah, probably. I think it's just obvious. I mean, Elon is, you know, bringing people out here. There's probably some tax benefit too that, you know, Tesla gets as well. Let's see. Andreas Lundquist says, do you see any risk that Tesla stock is a bubble?
No, I don't. I think Tesla's pace of innovation and what, you know, the growth that they're delivering justifies the current valuation. And, you know, I'm gonna continue to hold Tesla for 5 to 10 years. I don't think we're anywhere close. I think Tesla's another 10 bagger potentially from here, you know, 10 years from now. So I'm holding for the long term. I know a lot of people out there in our community are, and in terms of Tesla, you know, if you hit the growth stage and then the maturity stage and then the end of life cycle stage, Tesla's like right at the beginning of their growth stage. So we're just in the early innings here for Tesla's success and growth.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I first invested in Tesla, I'm like, whoa, this is like a 10x, you know, company. If they could pull off Model 3, and if they do that, they could be another 10x company because, you know, with the Gen 4 car. And so after they hit their first 10x, you know, and I was like, okay, the second 10x is like very clear, you know, Gen 4 expansive market, et cetera. But then they hit their second 10x, right? So they did 100x. Now, to do another 10x, it's kind of rare for a company, a publicly traded company, to do like 3 10x's, because that's like 1,000x, you know? That third 10x, especially right after they did a quick 10x within like 18 months, right? For people to latch on to the possibility or even the probability that they'll do another 10x, even if it's over the next 5 or 10 years. So I think for me, it took a while to grasp or to let full self-driving sink in more and to understand like, hey, this is a new product, a new market, a new business model that's not in place. That's not the typical vehicle, you know, selling hardware market. And so what does this look like? And a lot of it's going to depend on competition, but also like, is there network effects in the full self-driving technology or market in itself where there's going to be some advantages for Tesla, you know, where by having safer cars or, you know, larger networks or fleets that they're going to have an advantage. I think there definitely is some network effects. So definitely an interesting company to see, you know, just to see the cap just increase, you know, like when Tesla started out, like even like when I first invested in Tesla, there was no autonomous driving like mention at all, you know, like Tesla didn't even have autopilot 1.0. Like, they didn't even have blind spot sensors in their cars, you know, in 2012, 2013. And to see like, you know, how much things have changed is kind of crazy. Stitch the Frenchie says, did you go to university or college and what did you study? Where does your finance background come from?
So I went to Clark University and I graduated in 2018. I'm 26 years old. I just turned 26. And I studied business management. And unfortunately at Clark, you know, there weren't as many finance courses as I, you know, wanted there to be. And so everything that I know about finance is essentially self-taught. Both of my parents worked on Wall Street in the 80s, but, you know, they didn't really they obviously taught me, you know, the basics of investing and diversification, but I went the complete opposite route and chose high risk. You know, I'm young, I have a high risk tolerance, and, you know, I accept that my, you know, portfolio can just implode at any moment, but I'm young and I can build it back. But yeah, I'm completely self-taught, and, you know, I just started small. I, you know, watched the business channels. I read all types of articles, there's various things, business. And then in 2015, that's when I really started to get interested in Tesla. And I just started watching it every day and learning about it. And it just grew from there.
Mm-hmm. Fernanda and Thomas says, if Giga in India, I think it focuses on a new class of cheap, small range, urban, full self-driving capable vehicles. So it kind of makes sense. if they go into India at some point. David Curry says, question, at what market cap does Elon leave the CEO role and start cashing out for Mars base?
I do think about this occasionally, and I don't believe Elon will be CEO past 2030. I think he'll mostly accomplish what he wants to accomplish at Tesla, and I think he'll step down before then. Obviously, I don't think he'll leave in a complete role. I think he'll do what sort of, you know, Jeff Bezos has done, is step down as CEO, but take on a, you know, a smaller role, but still be involved with the company to some degree. Because I truly think Elon's heart really is with SpaceX, and that's where, you know, he loves to work. And I think he really wants us to make us a multiplanetary species. So I think in the 2030s, maybe, is when he'll start to cash out some Tesla stock. I don't expect that this decade. But we'll have to see how, you know, the Starship program goes. It seems to be progressing well, but yeah, I would not within the next 5 years. I don't think Elon will step down though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's interesting. I think, my guess is within probably 3 or 4 years, Elon will actually qualify for all of his stock incentive, compensation plan. And so at that time he will be free to leave Tesla, even though he has to hold on his stock for several more years before selling. But yeah, it's going to be a question of whether Tesla offers a new, I think, CEO compensation plan or not, and, you know, what Elon wants to do at that point as well. Interesting stuff. Here's Patrick Kodua says, which of the Chinese EV players do you see as poised to be the biggest, most successful long-term? And then Sahil Chauhan says, who will be the winner in China?
It's a tough race out there. I know there's a lot of players, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably choose NIO, even though I don't believe the battery swapping is the way to go. And I'm kind of skeptical on some of their solid state claims. But if I had to choose, I'd probably choose NIO. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to follow, I think, the Chinese market without living there and knowing the culture and language, and understanding the nuances. It's just such a, you know, different universe, it feels like. Adam Sullivan says, with Musk moving all of his companies to Austin, will Austin become the U.S. most valuable real estate? I don't know. I mean, still, there's a lot of cities that have, like, per acre, you know, it's going to be a lot more pricier than Austin, but definitely.
I think Beverly Hills will probably keep that crown in terms of most expensive. Who knows, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Austin is going through a lot of changes, though, and it's been, it's fascinating. Here's Alan Graybotch says, thoughts on Tesla opening up their charging network, an extra click charge from others, and market data would seem to be delicious.
So I know a lot of current Tesla fans and owners aren't a fan of that happening. And that's understandable because, you know, a lot of the superchargers are already clogged up a lot of the time, not all of them, but some of them. But you know what? It makes sense for Tesla's mission to do this. It falls in line with, you know, accelerating the advent of sustainable energy. So to me, you know, if they can figure out, I don't know how they'll do it. You know, they'll have to, I don't know how they'll deal with congestion. But I think eventually it makes sense to open it up to other EV makers, and rivals, and sort of license it out. I think it'd be a good thing for Tesla and a good thing for the environment.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Tesla Hype says, question, we know Elon doesn't want to do bicycles, but how long until Tesla makes a bicycle? Okay, wait, sorry. We know Elon doesn't want to do motorcycles, but how long will it take? How long until Tesla makes a bicycle?
Would it be an electric bicycle or just a manual one?
Electric. I mean, obviously, you know, Tesla motors battery.
Okay. I don't know. I'm assuming they do the sort of off-road ATV type stuff first. And then maybe they do an electric bicycle. Not many people would purchase an electric bicycle, to be honest. Certainly in Amsterdam they would, but in the US, I just don't see it that being that big of a market to where, you know, it would take precedent over their off-road line.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that happens, the off-road line.
Jared P17 says, how much will the starting dividend be? I'm guessing this is referring to possible future Tesla dividends. Do you ever think about that?
I do. And I you know, I've heard JPR 007 on Twitter talk mm-hmm. about this a lot too. And he was talking about, you know, once you hit sort of an R&D of $50 billion annually, you really can't go over that. It's just hard to reinvest. And if Tesla really does have hundreds of billions in profits per year, especially from FSD, you just can't reinvest at that rate. That's like investing $1 billion per day, if we believe they can get to that insane height. So I do think dividends will come. I don't know if they'll be in form of dividends or buybacks. I know some people think buybacks make more sense. But certainly, you know, around 10 years from now or so, I think Tesla will just be such a big cash cow that they'll sort of be forced to, you know, figure out something to do with their cash, because reinvesting it, just won't be an option. They just won't be able to do it fast enough.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, I think at a certain point, I mean, already Tesla is, you know, their cash flow is positive, increasingly positive, and they can raise money at any time. But it's at a certain point with their operating leverage, the more they sell, they're just making so much, you know? And
yeah,
I mean, for the next 5 years, obviously, they're probably going to have more than enough to spend on. But eventually, yeah, I would imagine after 5 or 6 years, I mean, I would imagine like even to start a small dividend, you know, would kind of make sense in some ways.
So Apple right now, I know, pays out, and they pay out more dividends than any other company on earth, I think. And they do about $12 billion per year in dividend payouts. So I wouldn't shock me if we really have hundreds of billions in profits per year. If, you know, Tesla pushed out like $80 billion a year in dividends. I don't think that's unreasonable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perhaps at a certain point. Chris Jones says, is a hovering roadster something Tesla is seriously going to work on?
Yeah, no, I do. I was speaking to someone who, you know, doesn't work for Tesla, but has knowledge of these type of things and, you know, compressors and the space industry. And he was sort of talking with me about various things like the compressors that could go into the Roadster for the SpaceX package and how they could have various ones around all around the car, and it could sort of hover for a little while mm-hmm. and help with handling on a track. So I do think that it'll happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jessica Kerr says, question, do you think Elon will make a high-rise apartment building out of a Starship prototype?
That'll be interesting. I don't know. That would be cool, though. I would love to see that. Yeah,
that would be classic. Stitch for the French, she says, Dave, which types of Cybertrucks did you reserve? I reserved 2 more after watching your video yesterday. Yeah, I reserved like 28 single motor ones. I don't even know if I'll take delivery. I'm not that excited about running a fleet per se. I mean, I understand that it could be obviously profitable, but you know, I'm not looking at this place in my life to launch a fleet per se, but it's more of an option call, refundable, you know?
Yeah. I was looking at the, there's a Cybertruck reservation tracker, and you know, it's just an estimate, mm-hmm. but it's the best we have. You know, it could be completely unreliable, but you know, net reservations are approaching 1 million right now. Yeah. I think it's at like 981,000. So I'm really curious to see what the cancellation rate is mm-hmm. for the Cybertruck, because you have a lot of people like, you know, you and Matt who have, you know, 20, you know, 30 reservations. I talked to one person who has 60 reservations. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Smith, he was saying he knows 2 people with 500 reservations each. Oh, that's like 1,000, you know? Emmett texted me yesterday. He's like, dude, should I reserve some Cybertrucks myself? You know, I was like, yeah, I mean, he would. Yeah, Emmett might
reserve. The cancellation rate, honestly, I'm gonna guess is gonna be like 40%, probably. Oh
yeah,
there.
But, yeah. Eventually, it'll be super high. I would imagine even higher. Gary Menezes says, should they call the compact Tesla the Tesla short? Imagine selling millions of Tesla shorts. That would be the ultimate troll.
I still like the Tesla Q, but the Tesla short's not bad either.
Yeah. The Tesla short shorts, that's like got to be one of the classics like of all time.
Oh, yeah. I wish we knew how much revenue they got from those. That'd be interesting.
They should make a version 2, you know? Different color scheme.
Whatever. Some sweatpants for men or something.
Exactly. Art Vandelay says, question, will there be a Tesla boat?
Yeah, I think there eventually will be. I've been researching electric boats, actually, because, you know, I'd love to have one for our family. Mm-hmm. There are electric jet skis coming out later this year, which is interesting. And our family is actually looking to get the Polaris. They just announced their in December of this year, they're coming out with an all-electric Ranger. So we're going to look into getting that. And we just got Tesla chargers installed at our house to get ready for any Teslas. And we have solar in our New Hampshire house. But yeah, I think a boat absolutely makes sense, you know, later down the line. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a right market. I don't know how, I mean, there's so many different types of boats. So it's going to be like,
I know,
you know, to pick the right one. And yeah, it's a whole new field. Jessica Kerr says, what are your thoughts on a gigafactory in Russia?
In Russia? That doesn't make too much sense to me because they don't have many sales in there. I believe they shut down like some of their stores or I can't remember how long ago this was. But in Russia doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what the argument would be for Russia though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think in some ways, I think that the like certain Asian countries, if Tesla can bring down the cost enough, it makes sense because they're so congested and dense. That pollution is a big issue. And if the cars make, you know, economic sense, it definitely makes environmental sense, you know, especially in the most congested areas. So we'll see. 85XH says, question, will they deliver Cybertrucks outside of North America? If so, when?
Yeah, I think they'll make a smaller version later down the line, like Elon had sort of referenced to. But I don't expect that before 2023. I think it's probably like 3 or 4 years away, likely, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I don't know how many markets there are for consumer large, you know, pickup truck type of vehicles. It's like,
yeah,
it seems like a bit of a fascination from, you know, the American, you know, crowd. But
yeah,
we'll see. Charlie Driscoll says, question, will Tesla get into drones?
I don't know. I don't think so because, you know, they don't really do delivery or anything like Amazon. I don't know what they would use drones for. Maybe to bring like some repair parts to your house, but then they don't want you to repair your car. So drones don't really make huge sense to me, at least for a consumer purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine, you know, it makes sense if it can complete some type of logistics cycle or delivery cycle or something in the bigger picture.
In that sense, yeah.
Yeah. From point A to B. I remember talking to JB Straubel at some event, like probably 2014. I think it was the reveal of the first Powerwall. And he was saying how Tesla thinks of things like moving people and goods from point A to B or moving atoms, you know, from point A to point B. And you can people or goods or whatever. And they're already thinking about logistics way back then, you know, like 7, 8 years ago. But yeah, Tesla knows that transportation isn't just about cars and people, you know, there's different markets attached to it. Fino says, question, do you think Tesla will produce a HVAC system for homes?
Not anytime soon, not for years. I was talking to someone about this too, and it just doesn't. The market just really isn't that big, and their resources are sort of better focused on other areas for the company. So no, I don't really expect that to happen, at least anytime soon.
Really? You don't think that?
Yeah.
Really? You know, I would imagine. Okay, so here's my take: is so a lot of this stuff takes a long time. Like for example, take the solar roof. I mean, like it took a long time to even get to this place where it's still being iterated on, and like that was actually my suspicion when they first launched the solar roof. I remember I went to the solar roof reveal event and I was talking to several engineers. I'm like, so, you know, how far are you guys, you know, what's going on, all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, we just pretty much, you know, just quickly put the tiles on and it's not really functional right now. <You know>? It's like, this is the design, et cetera. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, gosh, man, you guys have a lot of work to do, you know? They're like, yeah. And so I knew that the solar roof was going to be a multi-year project to even get to the place where, you know, it could scale a lot. But I think that similarly with HVAC, and the same thing with the Powerwall. When the Powerwall first came out, you know, I was like, huh, this is going to, it's going to take a while. It's going to take three versions because this is how Elon understands it too. The first product is not going to be that great. It's going to be expensive. They have to make improvements, you know, each generation takes a couple of years, et cetera. And so, With HVAC, the whole concept is Elon understands three generations. Each generation will take a couple years, like 2 years minimum. So we're talking about maybe 6 years before they get a real good HVAC, you know, thing on the market. And so during that time, you know, they can release something in smaller quantities and use mm-hmm. kind of the market to innovate their product. And the ultimate question is, does this move the needle in the for the world to, you know, transition to sustainable energy or not, right? And if yep. you look at the energy usage of air conditioning, you know, I mean, it's huge, you know? I mean, and heating too. Did you know, I was like shocked, over half the houses in Texas use electric for heating, which is crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So if you think about just the amount of energy that's used to heat and cool people's homes, not just in America, but around the world, it's actually tremendous, you know? And so this is going to play a huge dent into the market of moving Tesla to sustainable energy. I think the profit and all the that stuff is actually secondary to Elon. Elon thinks he could figure out a way to make it work. For example, solar roof, it wasn't about the profit, you know, of, oh, we can make a lot of money. It was more like, we just got to do it because this is the right thing to do. I think similar to HVAC, it just makes sense, you know, who else is going to do it besides Tesla at the scale that, you know, Elon thinks. So to me, it's a shoo-in. You know, within 3 or 4 years, Tesla's going to release their first version, I think, and iterate on
it. You make a good point from the energy standpoint. And yeah. you know, if it's a full integrated system with, you know, the solar tiles, the power walls, and then the HVAC, maybe it makes sense then, you know, maybe you're right. But I just didn't see it as a sort of priority for them, at least in the next few years. But like you said, it takes like years and years to perfect it. So maybe they'll just come out with an initial sort of design or whatever, and then, you know, they'll perfect it from there. Yeah. It'll be a slow process.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because so part of the technology, I think, is going to be like, you just shut off, turn on and off. For example, let's say it's a hot, super hot day here in Texas, and, you know, you got a big house, and you're blasting two huge air conditioning things 24/7, right? It's just like you're wasting crazy energy. But Tesla will do something where it has sensors. So when you walk into different rooms, it shuts off, you know, the air conditioning in different rooms, and it follows you around. And they can even use kind of, you know, the Model 3 kind of adjustable vents, you know, to vent it. To you and stuff. And if they do it right, I think they can cut down energy usage by 80% to 90%, you know, in conjunction with better condensers and, you know, all this other stuff. And if they could do that, I mean, that's insane.
From that standpoint, it definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Janaka Nakandala says, what will be Tesla's most supply constraint component by 2025? Batteries, chips, or body? Thank you both.
I'm going to say batteries still. I think the body won't be such an issue as with all the gigafactories popping up. I think the batteries will still be an issue. Although I think by then they'll probably have most of that sorted out. But again, they'll still be going through rapid growth. So I would say batteries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Adam Sullivan says, any thoughts on Dr. Burry's Tesla short? He is predicting $100 a share by the end of 2021. Parentheses, I am long Tesla.
So he's a really smart guy, and he, you know, he nailed it in 2008, but his analysis is just fundamentally flawed. You can't, the way that he compared, you know, Tesla to like the housing industry, or I forget what he compared it to, some industry, it just doesn't make sense. I believe his overall analysis is flawed. I haven't looked at it recently. But I remember when I was looking at it, it just made no sense to me. I know Gary Black had similar sentiment, so I think he's completely wrong.
Yeah. Here's Ben Siz says, why shouldn't Tesla copy every Apple product?
Well, because not every Apple product falls in the, you know, accelerate the advent of sustainable energy part. Making phones doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. So here's Ruda says, when will Snake chargers arrive? Will existing superchargers be upgraded, or is there a different technology for full self-driving?
I really want that, you know, automatic Snake charger to come to every supercharger. That would be so cool, because that way you wouldn't have to get out of your car. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Elon sort of dismissed that idea that it was coming. or that it was just too difficult or something. I can't remember. He said something about it, but I'd like it to come to market for sure.
Yeah. I think, I forget the exact reference. I thought it was more optimistic though, saying at some
point.
Was it?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious it's got to come, you know? I mean, I think perhaps it's timed with the rollout of autonomous drive robotaxis, because robotaxis will need some type of charging. So I think that's probably the use case that, you know, Tesla's probably most excited about. Craig DeAndrea says, what are your thoughts on Tesla raising solar roof prices?
I'm not really sure why that happened. I have a solar roof order, which I'm not going to go through with, but I got an email that they're using some sort of new, I think it was like steel plating under it or something. So maybe that's what increased the price. I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, at least in the US, 5 million new roofs are installed each year. So that's a huge revenue potential for Tesla. I think over time the price will continue to come down, and you know, it'll just make no sense to go, at least for, you know, with a slate and expensive roofing, it'll make no sense. But even I think it'll get to the point where it's, you know, cheaper than hopefully, or at least on par with, you know, asphalt shingles. So yeah, that's just, so the solar roof is one product that I think a lot of people discount, especially in the energy side of Tesla's business. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much potential there. And I haven't done the calculations on how many new roofs are installed in Europe each year, but yeah, the revenue potential there is just incredible.
Yeah. I think Tesla's big problem with the solar roof is the labor cost.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to subsidize or to pay for a team of 7 or 8 people for 3 weeks to install a solar roof or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of time, you know? It's like crazy. And somehow they've got to bring down the labor install costs, you know? And I think they're having some challenges with that. It's just roofing is hard, you know? Like
it is.
Traditional roofing, you're just like, my neighbor just got the roof replaced and it's just like shingles, but it's just like, you know, they're just ripping stuff up, you know, hammering things in. They got like 10 people on the roof at the same time and they're done in 2 days, right? And to try to do that with a complex electrical system, you know, that has to be working all together, and it's just, man, and not leak and all that. It's just intense, man. If they're going to get it eventually. It just takes some time. And I don't think they'll have many competitors either.
No.
Not many people are going to be crazy enough to try that.
No way.
Zod says, question, should Tesla buy Boston Dynamics, the robot company?
I was just watching a video on them the other day. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think they would be super expensive, and you know, they burn through money quite a bit, and Tesla has their own incredible engineers that are probably, you know, even better with robotic type stuff anyways. So whatever they want to develop, they can just do in-house. They don't need to buy Boston Dynamics for, you know, $1 billion+.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Boston Dynamics, they got some cool videos and stuff, but I don't know. I think a lot of that technology is like, you get, you know, 50, you know, or 100 engineers, you know, with robotic experience, and you can, you know, do that and better, especially under Elon. You know, it's not something completely like revolutionary. They do make some great videos though.
I love sure. Yeah. The dancing ones are great.
Yeah. Especially the ones that make like that just scare people. What the heck? K10 is back, says Starbase experiment with HVAC ? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, Elon's getting into kind of building with, you know, the Starbase city. There's going to have to be housing. So yeah, what do you think? Do some HVAC there?
Yeah. I mean, for what you're saying in terms of the energy savings, I think it makes sense. Why not?
Yeah. Phil Nguyen says, do you think the EV tax incentive will be retroactive?
I don't know, because we haven't seen the real meat of, you know, they're still sort of hashing things out, and we haven't seen the real meat of the bill. We don't know what the EV tax credit will be at all. We don't know if there's going to be a big phase out period, or, you know, what the caps will be, if there's any. So things are still being worked out. So I don't really know. But from what I've heard so far, I like what I hear. But we'll have to see if there's any pushback from, you know, the right. So yeah, but I'm hoping that we get that 10,000 tax credit and people will be rushing to buy Teslas for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Here's Ruben Van Dyke says, are you investing or looking at any companies in the supply chain for EVs?
No, when I used to be an investor in Apple, a lot of my friends would, you know, look in the supply chain, but I never liked to do that. I like to just own the primary company, which was Apple. And the same thing applies with Tesla. I don't really look down the supply chain. They're not the ones doing the crazy innovation, even though if they might benefit from it. I want to be holding my stock in Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's Canada Confucian says, question for Dave, what can Tesla improve in HVAC? Carrier has been making HVAC system forever, and I don't see what Tesla can improve. I think that's the issue. Carrier and all these other companies, Lennox and whatever, they're not innovators. They're just purely like sustainers, making slight incremental improvements, you know, just trying to protect their current business model. The core, I think, of Tesla's innovation for HVAC is going to be what the beginning work that they've done on the heat pump for the Model Y and then Model 3. And that's basically, you know, super efficient heating and cooling. And I think what Elon realized is like no company in the air conditioning or supply chain market can even come close to this. Like, you know, it's just that's what Tesla engineers have done. And it's just obvious that if they can apply this to the house and make it more efficient, so you have heating and cooling from the same, you know, basically heat pump, and you make it where it turns on and off, right? It saves electricity where you're moving, so it only goes on where people are on. It can pre-cool or preheat your house at different times, and then it's all run by solar and backed up by power walls, and you've got the dream house. You know, that's the dream, right? Let's see. Luca Flyboy says, is there ever a boat coming? I think he hinted that. Oh, we just talked about that. Actually, there is a boat, you believe. Sevian says, do you think Tesla will create an electric scooter?
Electric scooter. I mean, maybe Tesla will get to a point where they've sort of just completed all their major projects and they sort of have this, you know, side team that works on little things like an electric bike and electric scooters. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's completely out of the question. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Here is a question by Tim Kofeed. With housing, will Elon go into 3D printed homes? Might be needed on Mars also.
That's interesting. I don't think it makes sense for Tesla to go into the house building space, even if they're prefabricated and, you know, they're really sustainable. I don't think that matches the mission. But maybe SpaceX would need to do some sort of similar or get into that space because they're, you know, they want to put people on Mars. So they're going to have to build some sort of housing structures. So I don't know if that'll be 3D printed or not, but, I think it's more likely that SpaceX would do it than Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was at the Boring Company reveal and I was talking to an engineer who was in charge of the bricks. So they make these, you know, bricks after they like, you know, dig the hole. Right. And he's like, I'm like, so what's your experience with bricks? And he's like, yeah, I have like a decade or something in brick composition and all this other stuff, making bricks, right? So I'm like, so where did you work? And he wouldn't tell me like where he worked previously, but it was interesting because I'm like they really have a huge priority, the Boring Company, on like bricks and what to do with that. And I was thinking, you know, there's definitely like something, I guess, that I don't know how the three companies like SpaceX, Tesla, Boring Company, whatever, can all work together. But yeah, I mean, at some point it seems like things intersect, you know, down the road. And I don't know. And that's kind of where this idea of like, let's merge all of Elon's companies, you know, comes up where, yeah, that's controversial though. I've learned my lesson. Half the people hate it. Half the people like it. It's like crazy. Here's Iocona 23. Sawyer, please tell us everything you know about the potential Indonesia 4680 cell gigafactory.
So I spoke to a source maybe a month ago who told me that the first round of talks between Tesla and government officials had completed. I tweeted out a potential location for the factory. I don't remember what that location is, but you can look through my tweets. But yeah, I think things are moving along as far as I know, but that's all I know as of right now.
Mm-hmm. Adam Sullivan says, will the Boring Company ever IPO? So yeah, my question is, are you more bullish on the Boring Company or Neuralink?
Personally, I'm more bullish on Neuralink. I would even, if I had the chance to directly invest in SpaceX or Neuralink right now, I would choose Neuralink, to be honest. I think there's a lot of, you know, growth there, a lot of potential there, a lot of, and some people disagree. I love all four companies, but I think Neuralink has just the potential to really disrupt, you know, a whole field. And the revenue potential is huge. So yeah.
Yeah. Parker's dad, Tyler, says, Hyundai already bought them, meaning Boston Dynamics. Yeah. So Boston Dynamics owns, or Hyundai owns Boston Dynamics, but the idea is, could Tesla buy, you know, that division off of Hyundai? Opsazar says, do you believe that Tesla will come up with an Uber-like human-driven service before hands-off full self-driving?
I said on my live stream a few weeks ago that I thought it made sense, but all indications to me is like, I don't think Elon really is down for that. I haven't really gotten any indication from him that he's sort of open and willing to do that. I think he's just like pushing forward and trying to solve autonomy, just go, you know, head straight ahead. So I don't think they'll launch a human driven service beforehand, even if ARC thinks it's a good idea. I don't think they will.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't make sense. To me, it makes sense in the sense of if you are not completely sure that autonomous driving is going to be here in the next year or two, you know, if you think it could be 4 or 5 years, then yeah, make have a transition period, you know, where you get a couple years of human driven drivers, you build up a network, so you transition into autonomous driving. But all indications like seem like, man, Tesla is right at the cusp of solving autonomous driving. And I think Elon knows that. And for him, it's just obvious that it's like, hey, you know, we're going to get there sooner than people think.
I mean, the progress has been incredible. And I was skeptical, you know, about the FSD going forward until the beta dropped last October. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like Tesla's way further ahead than I thought they were on the FSD front. So the FSD beta has been really exciting to see progress. And yeah, I don't think a human driven service will launch now.
Tim Kofed says, what will Dojo be used for after full self-driving is done?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. It could be just used to solve, I guess, other problems for Tesla. But I'm not sure what those would be.
Yeah.
Maybe for something SpaceX related too.
Yeah. It's like, that's one of my questions. Like Tesla is building up all this AI experience and machine learning. They're building one of the most cutting edge kind of applications for machine learning. And it's not just the neural nets. It's this entire system of testing, building, validating, labeling, production, you know, train all this. There's like so many parts to the system. And Tesla's building this up, and it's a huge, and like back in autonomy days, like Elon's like, yeah, our whole company is betting on this. Like everything's geared toward this, right? And it's like, yeah, after full self-driving is pretty much to the point where it's solved, and it's obviously always going to get incrementally better, but what is Tesla going to do with all this expertise and knowledge? In some ways, they become a software company, an AI machine learning company. Where do they apply that next, you know, big challenge too. And yeah, I mean, this is why I think if Elon stays with Tesla past 5 years, then you have a whole new like possibility of new markets, you know, because anything AI, like neural nets, especially with vision, it's an open field, you know. Without Elon, it becomes a little bit more tricky, you know, because I think typically CEOs will do what's typical, you know, what is the logical thing. Elon will think outside of the box and he'll say, hey, what's best for the world, the bigger picture mission, you know, his thinking is completely different. What are your thoughts on Elon Musk? What makes Elon? Why has he been able to be, you know, so effective with companies like Tesla, SpaceX, and all these others?
I think he's just willing to go to places that others just aren't. He's willing to take on massive risk, and not a lot of people are willing to do that. And, you know, dating back to his Zip2 and PayPal days, and then he plunged all that money he made from PayPal into SpaceX and then Tesla and a little bit into SolarCity. I think he has a willingness to just take on massive risk and a drive to just fix the problems of the world. And he's just an incredible thinker, a deep thinker. And I think he thinks of things way before, you know, anybody else does. And he sees problems really clearly. And it's great to have a CEO that has an engineering mind. You know, typical CEOs are just normal business people. And it's really refreshing to have someone like Elon as CEO at Tesla, because he has that engineering mind. And he can help solve the problems. He doesn't just say, okay, well, just send that team to go fix that problem. He's down on the floor with these people helping solve these issues. He tweeted out, you know, I think last night or 2 nights ago, he killed a lot of neurons in his brain or whatever, you know, solving the Model 3 production line issues way back in 2018. So he's always in the thick of it. And that's something I really respect and admire profoundly with Elon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. I want to thank you for taking the time out to chat with me and engaging with, you know, all the folks checking out the live stream. It's definitely been a fun time. I love these live streams where we could just, you know, hang out and chat and shoot the breeze.
Absolutely.
And, you know, take questions. So I'll link to your Twitter account and your YouTube. And you're launching a sustainable clothing company. How's that going?
Good. We're on plan to launch this in mid-2021. We'll start slow with our offerings, but as the year goes on, we'll offer more stuff for both men and women, and we'll ship worldwide. So you can go to our website, twinbirch.com, and you can sign up for our email list if you'd like. And we'll be using, you know, all kinds of sustainable materials like hemp and merino wool and organic cotton and tencel, which is eucalyptus pulp. And there's a lot of cool stuff, and we're going to be upgrading our website soon. And it's really exciting. We're excited to launch. It's been a grind.
Outsourcing production? Who's producing? Where is this being produced? Your clothing.
So it'll be produced in the U.S. Right now, we're working with some people in Maine and I believe Arizona. And so everything will be made in the U.S. We're trying to reduce our footprint as much as possible. And our packaging will also be compostable. It'll be, sustainable as well. And, we're just trying to reduce the amount of waste, you know, in terms of, you know, according to some estimates, the clothing industry alone is responsible for up to 8% of all carbon emissions. And 2/3 of clothing is made from fossil fuels, which is like nylon, acrylic, and stuff like that, and polyester. So most of it just ends up clogging our landfills. And the equivalent of one garbage truck full of clothes is burned or dumped in landfills every second. So, and washing clothes, meanwhile, releases like half a million tons of microfibers into the ocean each year, which is like 50 billion plastic bottles. So we just want to focus on a healthier, more sustainable future in the clothing space. And we want to do some good in this world. We know that a lot of people are in our community want to as well in the sustainable space.
Cool. Sounds awesome, man. Keep us updated. And fun chat, and hope to keep in touch.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been a huge honor, and I respect you, and your interviews are super helpful for all of us in the community. And thank you for having me.
Awesome. Great. All right. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.